just a moment. Job chapter 1, verse 13. Now there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." What has Job lost? Everything. It's interesting to me that he is, it's not just the things that he has lost. It is the people that he has lost. You notice that with the cattle, with the sheep, with the oxen, the servants are dead and I alone have escaped. His children are dead, but his servants that were with them, I alone have escaped to tell you. It is this incredible loss of life that occurs that has to just rip the heart out of Job each time it happens. They are the people that have been born in his house that he has found to serve him, some of which he's probably purchased, but they are his servants. They are people that he has cared for and been responsible for, and they are gone. And then you have his children. We talk about his children are there eating and drinking wine, and we have no reason to believe that what they are doing is displeasing to God. We know that Job has sacrificed for them because he is concerned about them. But we have no information, no knowledge from the text to believe that they have committed any wrong. And yet they're dead. And he has this tremendous loss. The other thing consider is how he learns of it. The first time, the servant comes to him and tells him the story, and it says, while he was still speaking, the next servant comes up. And while he is still speaking, the next servant comes up. And while he is still speaking, the next servant comes up. There is no respite. There is no break. There is nothing. It is one right after the other. And it is immediate. There is no time for shock or grief or anything. It's just pounded into him. The other question I have for you is, who suffers this loss? Job, obviously. Who else suffers this loss? His wife. We're going to read in chapter 2 and about Job's wife and her response to all this. And I will say that I have been in the past one of those people who have read this and thought badly of Mrs. Job. But everything that Job has suffered, his wife has suffered, and then some. She has gone through this incredible loss of all that she has and all that she loves, and then she'll watch her husband suffer even more. So when we get to that point, let's kind of put that in perspective too, as to who has suffered loss and what kind of loss. Yes, sir? I think that's a great point. For those of you who couldn't hear, is Job has not just suffered the loss of these things, but it's the blow that he suffers as a man who has been there to provide and care for his family and his servants and those that he's responsible to and for. He has lost that kind of purpose in life that he has, on top of all of the other grief and loss that he is suffering. Yes, ma'am. That loss of a child is changes people and does things to them, and that as it is devastating in a way that some of you know and that you can see, but it's just untold what that does to a person. Any other comments or questions? The other thing to think about is how Satan works. How is it that Job suffers these losses? Yes, sir. Yes, it is that he is lost to the hands of men. The Sabaeans come and take the oxen and the donkeys. The Chaldeans come and take the camels. The Sabaeans are probably the people of Sheba. You remember the queen of Sheba who goes to Solomon. It appears this is a time when they're more nomadic and more raiders than they are a nation. But Sheba is a descendant of Abraham. He's the grandson of Abraham and Keturah, Abraham's later wife. And so you have these people that were settled in Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula, around the southern edge of it, who've gone up and they've raided. But Satan has used people. The Chaldeans are from the Mesopotamian region on the eastern side of the Arabian Peninsula. They come over and they raid. And it's a very methodical raid. But Satan uses other people to cause devastation. The sheep and the goats are taken by the fire of God from heaven. You can think of that as lightning. Possibly it was. It's also kind of the way that the same description as to what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. So it could be that, depending on how you view that from happening, and depending on where you think the land of Uz is, but the northern reaches would be that southern area of the Dead Sea, where Sodom and Gomorrah were located. It's possible that the tar pits in there, you've got some kind of explosion going on and the fire and brimstone falling from that, but it seems to be a more natural source, even though it's called the fire of God coming down from heaven. It seemed that fire rained down from the sky and destroyed them. And then you have the children. It's a wind coming in from the desert. We live in tornado country. Some of you have suffered loss from tornadoes and storms. You understand that devastation. We've seen in Texas the devastation of hurricanes, and Florida and Puerto Rico and all kinds of things. We see it on our TV every night. It absolutely devastates, and here it takes away what are probably Job's most precious things, his children. So Satan can use these things. He has the power to incite men, and he has the power to use nature against us. And while all of these things could seem random and seem bad luck, it's that timing that you see all at the same time, and you receive word one and one and one and one. That comes from something supernatural. That is coming from Satan. Questions or comments? Verse 20. Let's go back to 19. And suddenly a great wind came from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So how did Job cope with loss? He praised God. He grieved. He expresses his grief. The shaving of the head, the tearing of the clothes, that's very much an expression of grief and anguish. But it says he fell on the ground and he worshiped. Watched the game yesterday. watched it with my father-in-law, which is a good thing because it kept me from saying some of the things that I was thinking. But, and yeah, he's good at that. Anyway, we were watching that, and I'm frustrated and I'm angry and that, and then I sit down and I read this and I think, I am a sinner. I cannot watch a stupid game and be that upset in the light of what Job went through and how Job responded. We get all consumed with little things in life, and this story reminds us what's important and what really are the big things in life. And it reminds us how we should respond. He fell down on his knees and he worshiped. And he makes this great statement. Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He understands that God is good, that God gives all good things. He understands that everything he has is in God's hands. And he will still worship his God. It also shows he understands that things are not what's important to God and shouldn't be important to us. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. We don't take anything with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Questions or comments? Yes, sir. David said, you know, you talk, the sheep and the goats were taken by the fire from God. And where Job is now, Job believes that God gives good things and God sends bad things, that it's God's responsibility. Job is not privileged to this conversation that is happening in heaven between God and Satan. Job doesn't understand that. Job, I think, one of the things Ashley and I were talking about is that Job, the book of Job, makes a lot more sense in the light of the New Testament than it does in the Old Testament. It's the New Testament that explains Job in much better ways, and we'll come across and talk about those verses as we get to them. But Job's understanding of the afterlife is probably not as developed as what we understand in the New Testament. His understanding of what God is doing for us is probably not what we have from the New Testament that we see from God's Word. But even though Job sees God taking away his things, he is still willing to bless God and worship him and understand God's goodness and his greatness. And he does not blame God. And I have to tell you that there have been times when I have blamed God. And I have to sit down and say, you are good and you are great. And I have to submit myself. Yes, sir.
Next chapter, when God deals with the devil again,
and I think we're going to get there, is this. Ken points out that God says and takes responsibility for what has happened to Job, because he says, says to Satan, you have incited me against Job, and I let you do this. But it's also because we as the created can't always understand the purposes of God and understand what will happen and how it will happen. And God has a purpose. Is that a fair statement for what you were saying? And I think that is what we get through here. And I think that is the purpose later on of God's statements to Job. Is I am the creator, you are the created. And it's not necessarily an easy lesson to hear or to learn. I don't know the extent of Satan's power over the elements to be able to cause fire to come down from heaven or the great wind to come up. But I do think that all of these things, and I guess I'll say, is that I think Satan could influence that to happen. And we'll get to the verse that I'll show you why I think that. So I think God why don't we go ahead and just read that as we go through. That will be helpful to all of us. So chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before God. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause." Excuse me. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch him, his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And so here you see it stated outright. God said, I allowed this to happen. But here we see it clearly stated. Satan struck him with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. So here I think we see an idea. God says, "You've incited me against him." God has allowed this to happen, but it is Satan who is causing these evil things to happen to Job. These terrible things. They're all there and all being done by Satan. And again, Job doesn't see that. Job's not privy to any of this conversation that's happening in heaven in God's presence. Job just has to deal with what's happening to him from the things he understands about God and who God is. Yes, sir.
Much greater respect for deity.
I think that's a very fair statement. Chuck said that the one thing that we have lost as society has become more modern is we have lost that fear of God and that understanding that God allows that these things come from spiritual realms. That there is an aspect when these things happen of things from a spiritual realm. And instead of looking to science to explain things and to explain away things, they had an understanding or belief that there is deity involved, that God is involved, or that spirits are involved. And I do think that is probably something we should think about more. And not, science can explain to us how a tornado or a hurricane develops. It could even explain kind of the timing of it. Causation is a different story. God has set up his world. Man's messed it up. Satan works in it. All these things happen. But we have kind of lost the idea that God is the cause of everything. And I think the book of Job reminds us of this in no uncertain details. Yes, ma'am? Yes.
So if Satan did have the power to change the order of nature, God still had the power over him.
Yes.
Even if he was allowed, you know, to change that order.
And that's one of the things we're just talking here. One of the things I always remember in this book is that, yes, it does appear that Satan has power over elements, over sickness, over disease, influencing other people. What all he's doing, Satan has that power, but God is always in control. And God always limits what Satan can do. God in the first chapter says, don't touch his person. In the second chapter, spare his life. God sets limits on Satan. His power is limited against us, but it is always important to remember that Satan has power that we don't, and that without God, without his word, we would not have power. We would not have an ability to withstand. Yes. Right. Yes, it's one of those things. Okay, my little political statement of the day, and this, I don't think that we can attribute a hurricane to global warming, but I also don't think we should be very careful about attributing it to God or to Satan. Weather happens, and we have to be careful to say how are we doing, you know, what's going on here. How did we get into this trouble? All right. Any other questions or comments about chapter 1? All right. The last three verses are very hard. So I'll tell you a little story. I have met Job, and she's a she. She found some guy to marry, because her first husband had been cruel and unfaithful. And she found some guy to marry that would at least be faithful, but wasn't necessarily the best provider. He didn't have a steady job or income or anything, but she loved him and she married him. Marries him in December. In June, she ends up going to the hospital, and she's supposed to be in there for about an hour or 2 hours because there's a little procedure. They weren't even going to have to use a knife or scalpel or anything. It was just going to sedate and be gone. And 6 hours later, she ends up having major surgery that forces her body and her emotions into changes she was not prepared for. And she spends another 6 months or better trying to recover from what happens to her body. And that was in June. The next May, her husband goes into the hospital. He spends a week there and he gets sicker and sicker, and the doctors keep saying, there's something wrong here and there's something wrong there. And he ends up with quadruple bypass. And she spends the next 6 months afraid that any time he falls asleep, he's not going to wake up. And about the time she is over that scare, she gets a call in June that her son has died. Took his own life. She goes, Virginia, to the memorial service. And on Father's Day Sunday, as she's coming back from Alabama, she stops at a little church. And the Father's Day sermon we hear that day is naked. I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sunday night, we stop, and the sermon she hears is a sermon about how mental illness is no excuse, and God will not excuse any sins you commit under mental illness. And Wednesday, after the funeral, on Tuesday, the invitation that night is, the passage is, and Judas went out and hanged himself. It's a hard thing to lose your child. Debbie chose to go to the other class because while that verse is important to her, and it means everything to her, being in here is hard. I had no children. We were married just long enough for me to really start to love my stepson and my stepdaughter. And he was gone. But the devastation of losing your child is something that I have seen and I understand, but I cannot imagine how it feels. And yet she remained faithful and has remained faithful, and her faith is stronger for all that she's been through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See you all next week. Thank you.